Good evening. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Better news from Fukushima. The better news is it's not bad news. Right now, it's an engineering challenge for the engineers on the scene, for those advising the Tokyo Electric Company. They've got power into number two. That's a good thing. They've flooded number three again with a water cannon. That's a good thing. Can't give you unit four, but it's not worse. And the radiation measurements at the gate consistently show either a dipping or a flat lining. All good things. The Japanese people are living with a tragedy and will for some time, 4 years, for the rest of the century. A global event, but it is not worse. Why this is important is, over these last days, it has been difficult to read the news. Mary Kissel of the Wall Street Journal editorial page joins me now, and Mary, 6 years in Asia, with lots of experience in Japan, helps me to understand that the Japanese government and the Japanese officials at the electric company were not misleading us. It was their effort to present a picture of calm that confused all of us, or a picture of confidence that confused all of us. Help the audience, Mary.
Hi, John. Well, I don't know if they were intentionally or not intentionally misleading us. I can't read their mind. But what I can tell you is that a Japanese government official is not used to any sort of confrontation with a journalist, particularly from a Japanese journalist. They do meetings after work in dark places with alcohol. Not in the light of day in front of a crowd of eager journalists.
We were not getting transparency, and the presumption, because I'm loaded up with cynicism, was that they were misleading. As it turns out now, they were either misinformed themselves or didn't bother to do their homework, and they were getting on a live mic and talking to the planet.
Right.
All right, so engineering, yes. Miraculous, yes. Very, very brave people at the site, but no longer getting worse. So let's move to what is getting worse. We have, late in the day, the United Nations Security Council in New York voting 10-0 for a no-fly zone with lots of restrictions. Read the small print in the resolution. For Libya, this, as Muammar Gaddafi, the devil himself, has announced that he's at the gates of Benghazi, and that he will take the city tonight. That, of course, is an exaggeration. But it is also true that over these last days, you have seen the reporting of the so-called rebels leaving the eastern part of the country, the part of the country, Cyrenaica, that has never been strongly attached to Muammar Gaddafi in Tripolitania, the east, the western part of the country, and Tripoli, the capital. The no-fly zone tonight, that has lots of interpretations. Mary and I now will look at what that could mean immediately in the United States government, especially Congress, because this was a UN resolution. But the Senate will ponder, and the Senate will make decisions and tell the American people. David Drucker of Roll Call joins us tonight because we're keen on the United States Senate. 10 days ago or more, John Kerry, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, announced suddenly on a Sunday he wanted a no-fly zone imposed on Libya. Here it is. David, a good evening to you. A success for John Kerry. But what are the voices of the Senate right now about military intervention in Libya?
Well, good evening, John. And, you know, whenever I listen to members of Congress talk, it's not just about what they say, it's about when they say it, how often they repeat themselves, and how forcefully they demand airtime for their message. And so, while in the past few days, I've seen a growing chorus of condemnation for what is happening in Libya and for calls littered throughout the Democratic and Republican caucuses for the president to be more forceful and exhibit more leadership, I have yet to really see this subject rise to the level of priority. If you're to judge repetition and forcefulness and priority of message, and so I think that while we've finally gotten around to a no-fly zone from the UN, and while John Kerry's call has finally been answered, it's less than curious to me that it's about to come at a time when it may not do any good. And to be quite honest with you, and I understand this to a large degree. Most members of Congress, even those that have had something to say about this, are far more focused on domestic issues.
But this is such an incredible, Mary here, this is such an incredible abdication of U.S. leadership. It's been a month that these people have been slaughtered. I mean, where have the Republicans been on this? Aren't they supposed to be the opposition here? Why have they not commented? I mean, what's taken so long?
Mary, it's a great question. And I would tell you, there has been some sporadic talk from the Republicans and demands for more leadership. But what I think is instructive to understand here is that I think that for the first time in several years, the Republicans are not of one voice when it comes to foreign policy matters. You know, as we understand the Republicans since Reagan, they are in a sense like the old Democrats from FDR to JFK, a forceful presence, a projection of American democracy and values, and if we have to use force occasionally, we're going to do it. And the Republicans now, perhaps because of the hangover of Iraq and Afghanistan, which are still ongoing, and maybe because of the state of our economy, they have had much less to say about things like this, and in fact are divided in terms of what we should be doing.
So they're just as afraid of Bush's shadow as the Democrats
are. Mark Kirk, no boots on the ground Kirk of Illinois. David, is that a significant voice? He's a junior senator. He's fresh to the contest, but he speaks up quickly. Does that complicate the issues for Mr. McConnell?
Well, I'd say that it doesn't really complicate the issue for Mr. McConnell because this is not something that he is trying to draw into unity. I think that this is one of those subjects that McConnell from time to time will allow his members to speak with as many voices as they want. Right now, his big priority is funding the government through fiscal 2011 and then moving on to the 2012 budget that the president proposed. And so I think what is significant is that Mark Kirk is one of the Republican hawks, as we would traditionally think of them. And the fact that he, this early in his six-year term, is not speaking maybe as he would have some years back on Iraq and Afghanistan and other situations, does in a sense speak volumes as to the softening of Republicans, at least at the present time, when it comes to projecting American power and trying to help countries that are trying to help themselves. You know, often we implore these countries, we urge them, please rise up. And if you do, you will have a partner in the United States. And while we still use those words, right now, at least out of the Congress, and I think clearly out of the administration, we're not prepared right now to back those words up with action.
Mary, Brazil, India, China, Russia, and Germany set out the United Nations Security Council. What's the significance do you see in that?
Well, some of them aren't a surprise. You wouldn't expect China and Russia to go along with us. And Brazil and India have formed a kind of developing world axis that has blocked lots of things, not least of which, if you remember, is the Doha round of global trade. But Germany, you know, that's a little bit of a, I don't want to know if it's a surprise given the signals that have come out of Merkel, but it's certainly a disappointment.
There are significant players not to be on board for the no-fly. So, David, the other voice in the Senate, and we'll finish with this because the Republicans are capable of surrounding this story as well as the Democrats. John McCain, no drive zone. Did he repeat that today, or is that going to go through an evolution?
Well, I don't know that he repeated it today, but John McCain hasn't changed, at least when it comes to matters of foreign policy and national defense. It's something he said yesterday. It's something that I think he is still pushing for, and of course he was being facetious, but what he was saying was that a no-fly zone is not enough. We need to protect the rebels, and we need to help bring down Gaddafi. I think that we will hear more from him and some of the Republicans that think like him in the coming days and weeks. But again, this is a United States government and a Congress in particular that is really focused inward right now and wholly consumed with taxes and spending and job creation and the next election. And it's not unlike other periods in our history when the economy wasn't going quite right and we allowed things outside of our borders to kind of go their own way until we were forced to do otherwise.
David Drucker for Roll Call, the United States Senate. The news is the United Nations Security Council votes 10-0 for a no-fly zone in Libya, quote, all necessary means. Does that mean going to war? I can't answer tonight. Mary Kissel of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Batchelor.